Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is recorded in the book of Romans in the 13th chapter, verses 1 to 7. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Here ends our text. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior, the Lord of the nations, dear Christian friends, likely heard about the major world news event that happened this past week, the peace agreement that was reached in the Middle East, the gathering of over 30 world leaders for a summit of peace in Egypt to support ending the military conflict in Gaza. As I was thinking about truths from God's Word to share with you today, to focus on in the sermon, it occurred to me that those events from last week provide a good opportunity to review together what the Lord teaches us in His Word on the subject of secular government and what our attitude should be, we who hold dual citizenship in the earthly nation of America and Jesus' eternal heavenly kingdom, towards secular government. And so today we want to have that as our topic. Look to the Bible to see what it teaches on the subject of secular government, God's servant for our good. Considering, first of all, the origin of secular government, then also its God-assigned function, and what our duty and privilege as citizens are towards our government. As to the origin of secular government, St. Paul writes in our text, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. There's no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. The apostle teaches us that the supreme ruler of the universe and the controller of history, the Lord our God, appoints all the governing authorities and heads of state that exist on earth. We heard about that in our lengthy reading that I shared earlier from the book of the prophet Daniel, hearing Daniel's words to a world leader at that time, Belshazzar of Babylon. It's about the year 600 BC. The Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses. And you may also recall in the story of David, 1000 BC or so, that it was the Lord who took David from being a shepherd of sheep and made him ruler over the kingdom of Israel. So, yeah, the Lord's the one who established secular governments, including all those that exist today, and always so that they serve for the blessing of His dear believers, His church. And that holds true, friends, also when individuals who occupy positions in government prove to be incompetent or even corrupt. There have been rulers, quite a few in history, who have attained positions of power, not very good and godly, in some cases very wicked. And they have rose to power by dishonest means, through violence and occupied positions in government to satisfy their lust for power and to gain more earthly riches and worldly prestige. These too are appointed by God's will for the good of his people. A couple examples from the Bible spoke of Nebuchadnezzar, referred to in our reading. He was the one that was in power before Belshazzar. Very, very pagan ruler. God used him to inflict a loving chastisement on his people, Judah, in order to lead them to repentance. There was Cyrus of Persia, came later, an unbelieving monarch who issued the decree granting the Jewish captives permission to return home so that Jesus would be born as prophesied in the city of Bethlehem. Of course, you all know the story of Caesar Augustus of Rome, the man that God used to give that decree that a census be made of the Roman world so that Joseph and his great with child wife Mary would need to travel down to Nazareth, or down to Bethlehem from Nazareth, and so that Jesus would be born at Bethlehem. There was also a ruler at the time of Martin Luther named Elector Frederick. He was actually a very good and godly man of Saxony, whom God used for his good purposes in the days of Luther to serve as his protector. So all heads of state are used by God to serve the best interests of his people, and also those that are in positions of authority in world governments of our own day. Now, as to the God-assigned function of secular governments, we learn about that from our text, where the Apostle Paul writes, "Whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you'll have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil." So from this we learn that God establishes civil governments in order to punish criminals and lawbreakers, including the right to carry out capital punishment if it so chooses, and to safeguard the security of the law-abiding citizenry, to curb wicked behavior, foster societal peace. We also think here of the blessings of government the Lord gives to us here in America, the public services our government provides, like a fire department, personnel, law enforcement officers, first responders, funding of things like libraries and construction of roads and bridges and hospitals and medical facilities. Think of that as Christians, we should at all part of the daily bread that Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer to ask our Heavenly Father to supply us with. Luther wrote in his catechism, things that Jesus had in mind when, give us this day our daily bread. What was he thinking of? What is meant by daily bread? It includes everything God gives for our bodily welfare: food, clothes, house, home, money, property, godly spouse and children, and honest and faithful rulers and good government and things like that. So, we should be very thankful to our Lord for secular government, and pray that he'd continue to bless us in this way. This connection might also be good to speak briefly about the role that God has not assigned to secular government, namely, to foster spirituality and religiosity, engaging in religious activities or enacting laws to legislate morality in society. That is a specific role or task that God has given, as you know, to his church, to Christians. And the Lord gave us the Great Commission, right? Go therefore and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them, disciples, to observe all things I've commanded you, to reach out with the gospel in Jesus' name as Christians, as a church. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, he's speaking to disciples, to Christians, to believers, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, glorify your Father in heaven. It's a wonderful privilege we have as Christian members of society and of a nation to let our light shine before others and share the gospel and lead people to Jesus by the way that we live. To Christian parents, the Lord gives the sacred task, training up children for the Lord, teaching them to know him as their Savior, instilling in them godly morals and values, including that they be law-abiding citizens to the glory of God's name. So while we recognize the authority and thank God for this, that God has given to the state in temporal affairs, punishing criminals, protecting the law-abiding, we understand that the responsibility of teaching and proclaiming, spreading the saving truths of God's word is something that he has given only to his believers. In regard to the duty and privilege God's given us towards secular government authorities, we learn from Scripture and here in our text that we're to honor them, regard them as those whom God has placed over us for our blessing. Even though they exhibit flaws, carrying out their duties and sins in their personal lives, yet we are to respect them for the sake of the office that they hold, just as Jesus, remember how he respected the greatly flawed Roman governor Pontius Pilate at his trial and taught his disciples to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, which includes, of course, the compliance with the laws the government enacts, knowing that when we obey the laws of the land, strive to be good citizens and patriotic, we're honoring the Lord who gave us our government. That's what Paul was meaning when he said, do it for conscience' sake, for the Lord's sake, and knowing that it will redound to the Lord's praise. What if there are things government does that we don't particularly appreciate, or laws that we would like to have changed or repealed? Well, then we're free to exercise our rights under the Constitution to go to the ballot box, vote for policies we deem wise, for candidates that we feel will serve the best interests of our American citizenry, not by taking the law into our own hands or lashing out against the authorities or damaging property or hurting people physically. And we're to render customs to whom customs are due, Paul says. In other words, pay our taxes, not expecting to enjoy the blessings of God through our government for nothing. Things like protection and things we mentioned before, all those public services. And one of the most important things we can do, and the Lord encourages us to do in his word in regard to government, is pray. Pray for them. Ask God to bless our leaders with wisdom to carry out their God-assigned role for him well. You may have noticed that prayers we offer here in church often include a little petition on behalf of our government leaders, in which we ask the Lord to grant them wisdom to carry out the duties he's given them faithfully for society's good. That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. It's a quote from Paul's letter to Timothy. Pray for those in authority Especially for this reason, we can live peaceful lives and so that the gospel can be spread in an unhindered way for the blessing of souls. In the book of Jeremiah, he was a contemporary of Daniel, and he served the Lord down in Palestine while Daniel was up there serving in Babylon and then later Persia. We read these words to the people of Israel living in exile in Babylon at that time. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city in which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So when the believers up there in Babylon sought the peace and worked for the welfare of the government of Babylon and later on Persia, they would benefit too from societal peace. Most importantly, so that they would be blessed in an unhindered way with opportunities to share their faith. Later on in the Christmas story, you ever wonder where the Magi came from? How did they got to know about the Lord? Men from up in that area of the world, because the believers that were there had been allowed to share the gospel with people there, and they had heard about the coming Savior up there in the territory of Babylon, Persia. And then, of course, the people of Israel would then be allowed, as mentioned earlier, to return to their homeland, where in fullness of time the Christ would be born, and a couple years later visited as a little child by Magi that came from the east. So in the same way, friends, we're to seek the peace of the city where we live, the country, that we may live quiet lives in godliness and reverence, and so that the gospel of the Savior might be spread without hindrance for the blessing of souls whom Jesus purchased with his blood. So these are among the truths the Bible teaches us in regard to the topic of civil government. May the Holy Spirit lead us to appreciate what this blessing of God is and help us to be good and loyal citizens, respectful to our leaders as those especially who know where our true citizenship is, and that is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your spirit free.